So this is our podcast, Red Scare, episode one.
Yeah. Welcome to the inaugural episode of Red Scare. I'm Anna.
I'm Dasha.
I survived, my ancestors survived not one, but two Holocausts. Incredible. So I can talk shit on a podcast about liberals.
I escaped Belarus and Las Vegas, respectively, to also be here with Anna, to get, hopefully, rich. And that's why we're here.
Yeah, we're refugees. So Dasha was recently, as you guys may have seen.
Yeah, I went, like, low-key viral last week when a InfoWars appearance of mine.
You became an info whore.
I became an info whore, yeah. You saw it, Anna. We're also here with Meg, our producer.
Yeah, Meg's our producer. This is an all-woman feminist podcast.
Definitely. Yeah, I was in Texas. I was in Austin for South by Southwest promoting a movie I made with also a refugee, Eugene Kotlarenko. When I was approached by an InfoWars reporter who I didn't realize was an InfoWars reporter initially, who asked me if I supported Bernie Sanders. And so I very, like, enthusiastically said yes. And then when she asked me why, I said, because he's a socialist, like, smiling. And then she asked me what was so great about socialism. And I don't really have an answer to that. So I, like,
if you guys don't know, we're still on the fence about socialism in this room.
I'm pro, but I'm not well informed.
Yeah.
I'm like a Bernie bro, but I don't really have all the facts.
Yeah.
You're here to get informed.
I'm here to learn.
Yeah.
We're all here to
learn. We're on this journey together. Another thing that you should know about Dasha is that she recently moved from LA to New York.
Very recently, yeah. Like in the last 3 weeks. Huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking sucks here.
Yeah.
I don't know why anyone would live here.
We really,
I guess,
just
to start a podcast.
Yeah, basically. I mean, we live in basically third world conditions without access to healthcare and with a crumbling infrastructure.
The trains,
yeah. We've all been fucked by the MTA.
No one really told me how shitty it was.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen people complaining, but the real, like, reality of, like, and it snowed again in March. Inclement weather is a real rich man's game,
mm-hmm.
first of all. And so I just feel, like, unprepared and sad.
Mm-hmm. So, like, on a level of 1 to 10, how much do you regret your decision of moving to New York?
I mean, I hated LA, too.
Yeah.
Is the real truth. It's just a grass is greener kind of situation. So, like, a 5.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd, like, regret not moving here. 5, probably, too. It's all, everything sucks.
Yeah.
Except Israel.
Yeah. We love Israel. We're Zionists on this podcast. Recent converts to Zionism.
There's a lot of conversion going on in the podcast, Dasha.
I am converting to Judaism, yeah.
This is true. Dasha's converting to Judaism. I'm a fake Jew, so we have a lot in common.
How are you a fake Jew?
I mean, I'm a marginal Jew.
They don't want you.
They don't want me. They won't take me because it's like through my maternal line, but through her paternal line.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we could get a mikveh together.
Yeah. I need a whore bath.
We could find a nice reform temple.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on a 23andMe analysis. Get back to you.
Yeah,
guys.
we're gonna find out if Meg is 1% Ashkenazi.
And maybe Russian too.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And then,
well, it's
cool you're comfortable just giving
your DNA. I grew
up in
a JCC, that counts.
Yeah.
I learned to swim in the JCC.
If you went to the Y, it's like, you know, retroactive rape. If you went to the Y, you're retroactively Jewish.
What is retroactive rape?
It's like the Me Too thing.
Oh, where you accuse, regret.
Yeah,
right,
if you regret right. retroactively, you can
then they
accuse
raped
somebody.
You.
Yeah.
Someone at the YMCA. Yeah.
I do think people are smarter in New York. Like, your chances of having a good conversation are better.
Yeah, this is definitely a thing in that I think, like,
not fake news.
The closer you get to Europe, the more, like, intellectual discourse is privileged among young people, and actually like the defining feature of whether you're interesting to somebody or not, like in a platonic or a sexual way, is mm-hmm. is whether you have some baseline level of intelligence. Where in LA it seems just like people are like hot and wear concert tees.
Yeah, it's completely acceptable in Los Angeles not to read a book for years or ever. And
which,
no
like,
one
begs the question, what the hell were you doing there?
Well, I'm an actress.
Yeah, this is true, yeah.
And it's cheaper to live there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can be more of a loser in LA, which appeals to me.
The quality of life is higher.
The quality of life. You can have a better quality of life and not do very much.
Like do very little, yeah.
I did a lot of like contemplating what it would be like to be productive when I lived in LA.
Yeah, I think like LA is a lead up to greater productivity in New York City. But it's true that in New York, at least there is on the surface, like at least in like kind of the art adjacent communities, a basic premium on like having read the latest article or by the latest male media theorist or whatever. And like, you know, everybody is like reading like Eflux and Art Forum, and there seems to be like a basic
discourse. Receiving the Eflux emails.
Yeah.
There's more discourse happening.
There are more people on Eflux email lists in New York than there are in LA.
And people can read in LA.
Yeah.
But I do hate the trains. I am really scared that someone is going to push me in front of a train.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like a real threat to me. I'm sure it does happen. People are like, that doesn't happen, but I know that
it does. No, this is a real fear. I'm more scared that I'm going to slip in front of the train.
On accident. On accident. I'm doing air quotes.
Yeah. Like slip on a banana peel or like step on a rake and then fall into the train cavity. But no, that's a real fear because like I walk around like texting or like refreshing my social media feeds all the time, and like my mom's always calling me about this, like she thinks that I'm gonna like literally fall under the wheel. I actually got hit by an ambulance once. True story. In New York City,
texting
with a boy, and I got like taken to the hospital in another ambulance because the original ambulance couldn't take me.
Damn, are you okay?
Yeah, it was fine. They put me in a neck brace and a bunch of like really hot firefighters lifted me up, and it was like heaven. Cool. I was like,
oh. New York firefighters are exponentially hotter.
They're
than,
really hot.
Like,
they look like Tom Selleck.
LA?
Any firefighters I've ever
Why
encountered.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Because I think that maybe, well, I don't know.
Just people in general. People are more attractive.
In New York.
Yeah.
Really? Because the myth is that they're more attractive in LA.
Mm-mm.
They're thinner. People are thin here and fitness addicts, but I feel like LA people are still thinner.
Yeah, I feel like everybody in LA kind of looks like Rachel Zoe.
Rachel Zoe. It's all a very uniform kind of hotness, and here there's just more like a diversified, like, nice, like on the tree, like everyone kind of. In Manhattan, everyone looks pretty good.
Yeah, they look cool, but the hotness in New York, it's true. The hotness in New York is one that is like deceptively, in an illusory way, makes people look like they're maybe intelligent and have a couple of brain cells up there. Like everybody
also,
in LA like looks very unicellular. Yeah.
It also depends on what New York neighborhood you're in. Like a Bushwick 10 is much different than the Lower East Side 10, Williamsburg 10, the Upper West Side 10.
Yeah.
We should rate them.
Yeah, I think we should. We should have a rating system in place. The real like rating system is the binary. You're either a one or a zero. So I think like all of that's out of the window.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the
And we're definitely ones.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
We're hot.
Yeah, I'm gonna objectively say that. But definitely there's like a sliding scale of hotness. And it's like it's not a linear thing. There's like different types of hotness. There's like the Bethany Frankel, like Upper West Side, whatever, East Side hotness, and then there's like the like Bushwick it girl kind of hotness.
Yeah, they're all valid.
Yeah.
What can I eat to make my ass really fat?
I think you have to lift.
Yeah.
You guys do lifting.
Yeah, we do lifting.
We've been evangelized to the like muscle milk.
Yeah, I need to get prepped on. I don't know. I'm just so scared to go to the gym.
I know, it's scary. Well, we started going together. We were like gym buddies. Yeah. But it's definitely worth it, and there's really no reason to do it other than your vanity, but you can, but it's also a great moral high horse to get on, because you can be like, I'm doing this, you know, for my health, or like to offset my depression and improve
which
my
is
mood.
A myth.
Yeah, it's a myth.
I don't think exercising is really matters if you're truly depressed.
No, it doesn't, but it makes you feel like you have like a little bit of structure and whatever.
You don't feel as bloated.
Yeah.
Which is depressing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to yoga, which mm-hmm. I didn't even do in LA, but started going to Sacred Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come home and I watch
Namaste, Dasha.
Namaste. I like to go to yoga, and then I like to come home and watch yoga porn.
Yeah. Okay.
yoga. And just really get into like a whole yoga kind of state of mind.
There's yoga porn.
Of course there's yoga porn.
I mean
it's more, you know, porn than yoga, but the yoga is kind of the theme. Like
it exists.
Massage porn. I
like that as well. Yeah, just like girls in like yoga gear, like fucking.
Okay, I think I've seen this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They do a thing often where they rip the yoga pants. Which seems impossible.
Yeah, it seems impossible to rip through
There's no way I could rip a pair of chewy scuba pants. Yeah.
I don't have the core strength personally to rip through a pair of yoga pants.
Definitely not. I'm going to have to go to Sacred Brooklyn
a couple more times. You know, you can rip through a pair of panties, but not through a pair of yoga pants. But if you're wearing yoga pants, you probably shouldn't be wearing panties. What kind of a sick freak are you?
No, no one does that, right?
I hope
you guys don't wear underwear to the gym.
I wear my high-waisted granny underwear.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. Oh. This is between me and my yoga instructor.
I haven't been to yoga in years.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I fuck with Pilates.
That's like better.
That's what yoga the Israelis do.
Pilates?
Yeah.
There's a lot of anorexics at my yoga studio, which is comforting.
Mm-hmm. That's another difference between like LA and New York. In LA, anorexia is like a strictly vanity thing. In New York, it's like, you know, it's because I'm so deep and depressed. And
right.
Like,
I forgot to eat
because I was reading this Mark Fisher book.
And I'm like curious about nothingness.
Yeah.
And
what it means,
like diminishing my personhood.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to whittle away existentially.
They like theorize their like thinness. Yeah.
I feel like there's more bulimics in New York.
Yeah, probably, because like, there's more, yeah.
Like, I could actually never be anorexic.
No.
I would have to eat.
One like, hopes that after 25, you would never be anorexic.
Oh.
Well.
All right, so what other differences do you perceive between LA and New York?
Astrology, obviously much more popular in LA, but still kind of like I was bracing myself to really be like, okay, like it's going to be unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even like come around with your like astrology magic bullshit. But no, people still like it here.
Well,
that's a similarity.
Yeah, I think the difference though is that again, they like will write think pieces about it here about like Susan Miller and whatever, but like in LA, they just like kind of take it, you know.
It's just in LA, that's the only thing to talk about in LA.
But it just goes to show also like what a cesspool is America is in general, because the LA quality of life is in some sense like purely circumstantial because it's warmer there and there's like wide open expanses and you can go to the beach year round or whatever.
Yeah.
And like mince around in a leather jacket. And here everything is complicated by
it's so hard to live here.
Yeah, it is. It's like really
I'm having a really hard time.
Transitioning. Dasha's transitioning.
I'm transitioning to a New Yorker.
Los Angelino to New Yorker.
And it sucks.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. So
yeah, Cynthia Nixon is gonna fix the trains.
Yeah, yeah. The big story is that Cynthia Nixon, who is an actress who is known for being like the least hot one on Sex and the City, is running for governor, for the Democratic governor position against Cuomo,
who is his fault, the trains are bad?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Albany's fault.
Yeah.
Is it? Why are the trains so bad? And what can Cynthia Nixon do
to improve the train situation? I don't know.
She said she was going to fix them,
Right. Yeah, this is her. Yeah, Cynthia Nixon notably, you know, came in late to a press conference. This was the one announcing her gubernatorial run, right? Because she was allegedly late on the train. Now, whether or not that's like a calculated PR media stunt,
which is a good stunt,
or
I respect that.
Yeah. Or it's an actual, you know, circumstance remains to be seen. Will probably never be known, but. It's true that our trains are, our infrastructure is in like complete and total free fall. And I don't know. I mean, what is to blame for the trains? Probably some
They're
level
old,
of neglect and corruption.
There is corruption.
Yeah.
Is the idea, right?
Yeah, the MTA misallocates all their money.
Mm-hmm. Like, it could be better.
Yeah.
They're better in L.A., even. The trains are better.
Yeah. And in every European city, effectively. And in Moscow, which is a quasi-European city.
New York basically has assisted suicide, thanks to the MTA.
Yeah. Like, real third world conditions. And so, I mean, you know, Cynthia Nixon, I don't know much about this, but I did sort of scan her platform, and she's kind of a Bernie sympathizer and has tapped a lot of former Bernie campaign aides to.
There was an article in The Cut about how like Bernie bros are out for Nixon. They're here for her.
And of course her bid is being overshadowed by her unfortunate the resemblance of her last name to one of our most unfortunate presidents, and also Christine Quinn, who's the what is she? She's like the vice chair of like the Democratic Committee, the former I have this in my notes somewhere.
Yeah, I also, when I was trying to prepare for the podcast, was like, I should make a note of what that woman does, and then I just didn't.
She is. I have this written down because I came prepared. She is the former New York City Council Speaker and current vice chair of the State Democratic Committee.
I like forgot it as soon as you said
it. And
we're
Christine
differently
Quinn,
abled on this podcast.
But she's you know, she called Cynthia Nixon an unqualified lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Which I, as a equally unqualified lesbian, object to. Presumably, this is like in contrast to Quinn herself, who is a highly qualified, credentialed political lesbian of the New York fundraising sphere or whatever.
And she took it back. She regretted.
She regretted it, yeah, instantly.
But still the unqualified stands, which I don't feel like, again, I'm not that well informed, but I feel like the government runs itself.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I feel like that's what Trump is sort of like.
Mm-hmm.
He's extremely unqualified and everything seems to be mostly fine, mm-hmm. you know, like, or the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll probably vote for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
given, I mean, this seems like a fairly small stakes thing. This isn't like Trump versus Hillary.
No.
So, or a smaller stakes thing at any rate. But that's a good question. Like, what do you guys make of like the idea that like the main criticism against Cynthia Nixon right now is that she's a celebrity and she's sort of like, even, you know, in spite of her obvious disagreements with Trump, is sort of piggybacking on the celeb wave and is unqualified and doesn't have the experience to run for governor.
I mean, our president.
I think
is
there's, yeah, I just think there's no way it's that hard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you need a wealth of experience to govern.
Yeah.
I think it's, you can figure, I think a person can figure it out and not really do. Isn't she seems fine?
Yeah, she has, like, fully capable mental facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. As an actress, I also
20 years from now,
she can probably, yeah,
Las Vegas mayor,
you know,
comes back home.
I mean, yeah, actors have very like developed capacities for like empathy and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. and she's a pretty good actress.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed her on Sex and the City. That's like enough for me.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people, like, were saying, like, a lot of her haters were saying on Twitter, that she was, like, they were taking kind of points, plot twists from her character as Miranda and saying, like, well, she's unqualified to run because as Miranda, she did this and this and this, which is, like, seems, like, highly absurdist.
I mean, honestly, I'd never want any of the other Sex and the City women to run
no.
for office. Like, Miranda's definitely...
Samantha could probably.
Samantha's a no.
Maybe
Samantha's
she could be the voice of this this soul sex work debacle.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The legislation we've got going right now.
Yeah. No, I mean the issue, like the Christine Quinn, the issue with that, right, is that like Christine Quinn is a longtime opponent of Bill de Blasio, mm-hmm. and you know there's all this internecine warfare in the Democratic Party itself, and like you know. Hillary, crooked Hillary, went on record and endorsed Mario Cuomo, mm-hmm. of course.
And so that's going to be a no for me.
Yeah, yeah. And it just goes to show that, you know, these people have learned nothing from their disastrous loss and are you know, digging in their heels, making fools of themselves. They have no skin in the game. But the idea is that, you know, while I'm prepared to lend my support to Cynthia Nixon as a completely like marginal, not all powerful New Yorker, you know, she's basically, let's say, aligned with de Blasio or somebody like Quinn is aligned with Cuomo. I don't see that there's going to be much of a policy difference there. It's more, you know, like liberalism 2.0.
Symbolic. So it remains to be seen. She's talking about income inequality. She's like saying the right things. She's mm-hmm. on TV.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cynthia Nixon isn't somebody like Chicolina or whatever her name is, the Jeff Koons porn star who ran for Italian parliament. You know, she's not. She's a person who's
like, I love sex. Yeah. Like, we should have more sex.
Yeah. And like, she's a person who's basically like known for this for a relatively like minor role on a fairly successful show, or not a minor role, but she's a person who's more, you know, she's not like, you know, some hoe bag actress. She's a person.
She's the ugly one.
She's the ugly one. She's steeped in the fabric of New York City civic life. Her wife was, you know,
her wife,
who we will not misgender on this program. was like a long time, you know, aide or campaign person of de Blasio. So this is a person who really like does have at least some nominal credentials or bona fides.
And again, yeah, it's not that hard
to run for office.
To run for office.
To be,
it's definitely not
yeah.
that hard to run
and
for
And it's
office
very important that if you're money. A woman and you run for office, you have to be like non-threatening, which is to say physically not that attractive,
which she's got
yeah,
going
which
for
she's
her
got in the bag.
I wonder what does, can we get a long hair pic of Cynthia Nixon?
A long hair pic?
I don't
does
know.
I don't know. I think like, you know, she could almost
she
be like
must
a character on the
point.
L word.
Yeah,
yeah, but she must have had long hair.
Well, she also doesn't identify as a lesbian.
She identifies
she's
as bisexual,
bisexual
which is
and
problematic.
You know, the comments made about her has also bi erasure.
Yeah.
Has also
she's an unqualified bisexual.
The bi community is upset that she's being called an unqualified lesbian because she's actually an unqualified bisexual.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I would fuck with that tote bag. Unqualified
lesbian.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I still want to get like the Scaramucci tote bag that was like
Oh god, I miss Scaramucci. Yeah. So
wait, here
much.
We go. We've got a long hair, red carpet pick.
Yeah.
You know,
she's
what?
Fine.
She's still not threatening.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got like a stripper stripe highlight going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But, well, I'll vote for her.
Yeah, she's got my vote, hey?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So sex work.
So, well, and yeah. We're endorsing Cynthia Nixon, and we're moving on to FOSTA.
And Sesta, who sound like two really crazy stripper sisters in Fort Lauderdale.
Invested in the sex worker community, as in I follow a lot of escorts on Twitter and read like sex worker Reddits. Some of my favorite ones, like the subreddit hookers, are now taken down, as is Craigslist personals, because of some legislation. SESTA, which stands for Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act, and FOSTA, which stands for something I don't remember, but they basically make it a felony.
Fight online sex trafficking.
Online sex trafficking. It makes it a felony to advertise sexual services online, which is why Craigslist Personals is down, which is why
there's no back page.
Page. All that shit is now taken down, which is, unconstitutional, obviously, but also puts hookers in a really bad position and completely conflates sex trafficking with, this is my understanding of it, is that it actually does nothing except for, if effectively the beginning of a war on sex work, people are saying.
What I got from it is that it sort of collapses the categories of sex traffic, victims of sex trafficking, and then consensual sex workers who are individual free agents advertising their services on these platforms. And I guess the idea is that it's an amendment to, a 20-year-old act, the Communications Decency Act, which states that websites and online platforms are not liable for the actions of third-party posts on their site. And I guess the idea is that on the surface of things, it seems like positive legislation because it effectively starts to hold liable these massive digital platforms that govern a lot of our kind of private interactions online. But it also, because a lot of, from what I got.
And it passed 97 to 3, or it passed
So with overwhelming, And anytime I hear the word bipartisan consensus, a red flag, an alarm bell goes off. Because that means something.
That means it's truly evil.
Rotten in the state of Denmark, yeah. Yeah, and the idea is that, a lot of these, smaller players, Backpage and Craigslist Personals that don't have, recourse to, massive AIs and technology and are really, a throwback to, the olden days of websites are shuttering wholesale because they can't afford to risk
a
legal liability.
They're not going
to
have a lawsuit, yeah.
Yeah.
What does it do to, a seeking arrangement website or
that's kind of trying to look into that, and I think seeking arrangements is still up. They have probably a much more, shrewd legal team because they are already, facilitating prostitution, completely. But the bill doesn't go into effect until January 1st. I'm sure it's going to be, struck down by I think the ACLU is probably already on it and everything. But a lot of celebrities, Amy Schumer and Seth Meyers, et cetera, did, PSAs for it.
Lena Dunham has come out against this.
Celebrities
sort of
love
legislation.
To run their mouth about sex trafficking.
They do, yeah.
Which is ironic because they are whores.
They're the biggest whores. Yeah.
They're actually the biggest whores.
Except they don't actually run any of the personal risks or liabilities of being a whore because they're ensconced in the Hollywood
model.
Just
have to, I think
someone needs to sex traffic Lena Dunham.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would pay not to have Lena Dunham sex trafficked, which is the difference.
To keep her out of it. Yeah.
This podcast is getting shut down before it even goes live on iTunes.
But I think the bigger issue is that it makes it harder for sex workers to kind of create ad hoc communities and the absence of unions or regulation.
Yeah.
And it really pushes them back into the old analog model of a black market for sex work.
Yeah, which is
dangerous and shitty for everyone.
Yeah, women will get hurt and probably die because obsessed, and that's sucks, obviously.
Yeah, and I think there's a bigger discourse that that of course the Trumps are all too happy to get behind, that this idea of a sex trafficking epidemic, which you can't call it an epidemic because there's no one source and there's no one, this is a four-dimensional chessboard of different players from different countries. It's not it's not a uniform thing. And so you're gonna have to edit.
Sex work is it's complicated and unfortunate because a lot of very vocal, visible voices are people who engage in like a very like sex adjacent work,
right?
That is, and who aren't really impacted by, like really like what it actually feels like to be marginalized and to have to actually like sell sex. Like they're like usually like cam girls or something, which is sex work, but it's like,
mm-hmm.
The people who are really at risk are much more marginalized.
Yeah, they're people who are basically transacting, like...
And that is a kind of sex trafficking, even if you're not, like, necessarily kidnapped and shackled. Like, mm-hmm. not trafficking, I guess, but it's, like, that sex... I mean, I think that sex work should be legal, obviously. Mm-hmm.
At least decriminalized.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%, like, for sure. And mm-hmm. I've engaged in, like, sex-adjacent labor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, being an actress very much is a kind of sex-adjacent labor.
Yeah.
Like
most creative jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Entail artists, like a very like blurry actresses. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a also scary thing that I read that the new legislation basically makes it possible because the wording is so vague, so that like a whole gamut of things can be classified as sex work now. And it also makes
like
it possible to prosecute to retroactively prosecute like websites for hosting and posting kind of third party.
Oy vey.
Yeah.
So, what do you do with like an app like Grindr?
Yeah. Well,
in these,
right.
Like under these situations.
Like, right. Because there's no like.
And even Tinder. Like I know
Tinder,
a lot of
yes,
girls who use Tinder, they just set their age preference to older and then like find
yeah.
clients that way.
Yeah, and there's yeah. a lot of, like, workarounds now. I mean, that's a scary thing. There are a lot of workarounds now that people use to basically transact sexual labor on the internet and on digital apps. But with an act like this where the wording is so vague and it's such a bloated field of what can be accepted as, like, sex work, it makes things a lot more kind of dicey for individuals, and there's probably going to be a lot of people in the crosshairs who are like not traditional sex workers and are just like gigging effectively.
Right.
And that, I mean, that's the other thing that like freaks me out about the whole discourse is that there's this idea, I think sex work right now, especially in kind of like this whole like literate New York art adjacent sphere, is very fetishized.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like this whole like confessional lit thing. The glamour, kind of the myth of sex work, because it is so similar to things that we do as like writers or actresses or whatever, with this additional seedy sexual component. But the actual labor of sex work, which is actually tedious and boring and part of it is bureaucratic and depressing, that of course is like pushed under the rug.
And that becomes also something you're not allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
That because it feels like stigma.
Yeah, and now
to
it's
say that actually
illegal,
no it
yeah.
sucks like
yeah
well in LA I worked a job I got off of Craigslist
mm-hmm.
actually was I worked as like a karaoke hostess in Koreatown, which is effectively kind of like I would consider it like sex adjacent. Like I did sort of like an American geisha
mm-hmm.
style practice with Korean businessmen who would do, like, I would get paid to do, like, karaoke, yeah, and talk to them about their, like, salaryman-style jobs. And that was, like, softly traumatic and boring and all of that stuff. But I think that when...
I mean, we've all worked restaurant industry jobs.
Same
we've all been hostesses.
Thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the worst
yeah,
job.
Being a hostess is like being a whore.
Mm-hmm.
That and the dishwasher.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a hostess
most
at a
fucked
restaurant,
up job.
And mm-hmm. I'm basically a whore minus the sexual angle.
Mm-hmm.
You could be.
I could be. But, yeah. Excuse me, sir. Can you spare some sexual favors? But yeah, I mean, and this whole conversation just goes to show how. Kind of chaotic and unwieldy the whole kind of internet realm is, the digital realm. On one hand, I applaud basically any measure that would regulate the kind of digital platforms like Google and Facebook, because I happen mm-hmm. to think that they're a far bigger danger to our existence than somebody like a renegade reactionary like Trump or whatever, like,
right?
Who is still on some level like a throwback to like an old binaristic system of political understanding. But on the other hand, I think I'm like trying to articulate this because I'm a little tipsy now. But on the other hand, I think these sort of sensationalist, provocative measures that are basically tugging at the heartstrings of the populace with these like kind of salacious narratives of female victimhood
mm-hmm.
are actually serve no one because they're not actually cracking down on, you know, I would like to see like a real state crackdown on like Facebook and Google, not something that like goes after like effectively bit players like Craigslist and Backpage.
Right.
And ends up actually endangering private individuals who are just trying to make a living the best way they know how.
Exactly.
Whores. Often they're Russian. There was an election in Russia recently.
Yeah, I think we can, yeah.
There you go. That's a seg.
Yeah, there was an election. Daddy has won.
Putin's the election. Back, baby.
Yeah.
4 more years. I don't know how long a presidential term is.
Putin is back for his, like, 135th yeah. term.
He's president forever. He won with 77%.
Okay. I'm like very impressed that they gave the opposition 33%. That's a large chunk like for in their like dog and pony show.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
democracy.
A lot of people did vote. Like they're also I don't think there was very viable opposition.
Yeah.
Truly.
You
there
don't
wasn't
think
like a
there was. Yeah.
No, cuz if there had been a popular candidate, he would have just been poisoned.
He would have been poisoned, yeah.
Or
shot while he was like philandering with his girlfriend.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. In Belarus as well, where I'm from, Lukashenko has been in power since 1994,
mm-hmm.
and he
mm-hmm.
keeps getting reelected. Mm-hmm. And like part of it obviously is like corruption and inflation, but also so many people do actually support him.
Mm-hmm.
Like and he probably would win anyway, even without.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, like sometimes I question whether it's even worthwhile to expend all these resources in cooking the books mm-hmm. of electoral politics, because you know somebody like Putin or Lukashenko would in all likelihood win, and I think people are just like used to it, you know, it's like Stockholm syndrome, everybody's like used to their like collective abuse.
Well, yeah, in Russia, in Belarus especially, is so like war torn and traumatized that they mm-hmm. like any semblance of like stability
mm-hmm.
basically is attractive to them. Like they're not really trying to rock the boat
yeah.
at all.
And part of me, you know, as much as I've been reared on kind of the myth of liberal democracy, like American style, part of me almost sympathizes with like the Putin autocrat model, because I think like, well, you know, it's no different than in America, but
yeah.
at least they're not putting on airs. There's no pretense. Like this guy is, you know, the incumbent, the dictator, whatever, and he's here to stay, and he's not even going to pretend that any sort of semblance of democracy exists. Where in America, there's this, like, delicate dance that we have, like, a
right.
two-party system, and then we reach bipartisan consensus sometimes, and it's like, wow, like, so incredible that...
Talk about our freedom that
yeah.
we're preserving.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can really, yeah, you can really, like, hang your hat on an autocracy
yeah.
and just...
And I think like, you know, it's like it, you know, when Berlusconi was in power in Italy and like the government would basically change the guard every 18 months or whatever, which is like another kind of interesting model for governance, which I think Trump is sort of implementing now because he keeps reshuffling, like he keeps like dismissing people that he himself hired. And it's almost
right.
like this like Soviet, like taking a line from like Putin's, you know, Dark Knight court jester circa. And no, I mean, it really is an implementing the sort of like non-linear model of governance, which is scary, but also like for people who butt chug art theory is basically interesting.
Yeah.
But so now that Putin's in power, we really can't say anything that impressive because really nothing is going to change. I mean, Masha Gessen's going to keep on pumping out bylines, so good for her.
Good for her. Love it. Here
yeah.
for it.
Yeah.
Assigned reading for podcast listeners. And host.
But in light of the Putin election, we can talk about the recent indictment of 13, quote, Russian figures mm-hmm. and three Russian entities, companies in basically an election tampering in U.S. politics. Ladies?
Yeah, I mean, Russian collusion's a scam.
Yeah, it's a liberal myth.
We all know this. It's a liberal myth. The most, like, concise take on it was Masha Gessen's article in The mm-hmm. New Yorker, I think, where she talks about... And it is like, a new Cold War mm-hmm. in a lot of ways because Americans have this anxiety about Russia as this, like, extremely cunning, masterful, like, they've, like, infiltrated mm-hmm. our democracy when actually if you look at, like, the Facebook ads that were being run, like, they're basically just nonsense. Like, they're just kind of creating, like, collusion. I mean, they're basically just creating confusion a la old, like, KGB tactics, mm-hmm. which is, to me, interesting and, like, fun. Mm-hmm. But I don't think actually, like, really weighted the election in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
And it's just a way of people, assuaging their fears of America becoming increasingly destabilized mm-hmm, by, like, mm-hmm. saying that there are these, like, sinister Russian forces.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's convenient that basically the special counsel, Robert Mueller, reached this or announced that basically the Trump administration was in no way implicated in the collusion, mm-hmm. but that the collusion effectively did exist, though it didn't carry over in any meaningful way into Trump's own dealings or the way that the election
that there just was went. Russian interest yeah. in electing Trump, but that
which they weren't, I think, actually, you know, to elect him,
yeah, like, or they were but unbeknownst to him, right. And I think that, like, you know, it's convenient
true.
Because it, like, plays into everybody's fears but also, like, exculpates the administration. And, you know, I was reading some materials this morning because I'm a highly prepared researcher. And so according to Trump's Deputy Attorney General Rob Rosenstein, the people and entities that were charged in this were, quote, intended to promote discord in the United States and undermine public confidence in democracy. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, sitting there thinking, like, wait what? Until these guys learn about Facebook and Google's business plans. Yeah. Like, what? This is, like, what people... This is what...
What public confidence in democracy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's Rob Goldman, who's the VP of ads for Facebook. He said this on Twitter. In over 140 characters, he used the Twitter character limit. The main goal of the Russian propaganda and misinformation effort is to divide America by using our institutions like free speech and social media against us. It has stoked fear and hatred amongst Americans. It is working incredibly well. We are a nation. We are quite divided as a nation.
I've said this before. I think that if your ideological convictions are indiscernible from, like, the shit posts of Russian troll farms, then you basically deserve to have your election meddled in, and you don't deserve democracy. Like, if you're really just willing to believe whatever, like, horrible, like, retarded shit, like, comes across your feed, then, like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, it clearly doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, and there was, I mean, I thought it was very telling that he effectively, unintentionally kind of distinguished between, quote, free speech and social media, that those mm-hmm. are actually different things, right? And... Yeah, and there's this, you know, there are allegations that these people, basically operatives posing as Americans, which sounds hilarious. I think we're, so like, funny. Operatives
we,
posing
I
as
feel
Americans.
Like a Russian troll. Like,
yeah,
I feel
too.
Like I'm also, like, the thing, like, my convictions themselves are, like, very, like, scrambled and, like, not.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah,
may
yeah.
as well be a bot.
Chaotic.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Just want to see this world burn, you know.
But there's this idea... that these operatives who were like posing as Americans, which sounds like, you know, Stasi operatives in the days of the GDR with like a tacked on mustache and like aviator sunglasses, that these people like that they staged rallies to promote candidates like Bernie Sanders and stoke interest in third party candidates like Jill Stein, which doesn't sound that bad to me on the whole. Like it sounds like the Russian bots and trolls are doing like a better job of promoting American democracy than Americans themselves.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it seems like a really kind of like bizarre revival Cold War-ism to place so much kind of animus, so much anxiety on this idea of Russia, which is like a humiliated country that has its own problems.
As is America.
Yeah, yeah.
And was also one of the features of the Cold War, was that like everyone had this idea, everyone was trying to like build this myth of, both countries are trying to build this myth of themselves as like much more competent.
Mm-hmm.
And like the arms race was much more this like symbolic display.
Yeah.
That like didn't actually, but actually both like Russia was like crumbling and like trying to pretend like they like had the upper hand.
Yeah. Like they had like a disgraced space program.
Yeah.
Some dogs died. But
thank God, because we're more relevant than ever.
Russia, yeah. I mean, I will say that the Russian collusion scandal has been great for my sex life.
Also,
it's really put
us
women on the map.
I couldn't be happier.
Everybody wants a Russian now. I mean, we were already in high demand because I think men had like this basic like myth understanding of us as like, you know, like back page hookers and mail order brides. But now we can be women who have like a PhD in linguistics and also turn tricks on the side, which,
exactly,
which is like universally flattering.
Who knows what Masha Gassin's doing on the side?
Being a husband.
I mean, didn't Trump even say that Russians make the best whores because they don't have any morals?
I think he may have said that.
It was like secondhand. It was like someone went on Stern and said that.
Yeah, but his side pieces are like Stormy Daniels.
Who's Stormy Daniels? I thought that was Kylie Jenner's baby. No, I really did.
Her baby is also named Stormy.
I think it's Stormy with a Y.
Stormy with an I.
Stormy with an I is Trump's.
Okay. No, Stormy with an I is Kylie's.
Kylie.
And Stormy with a Y is Trump's porn star affair. Blows my mind. I think Kim is a legit good person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel. I mean, I think Kim's like a dumb enough person that she's like, you know,
has a goodness, like a dog.
Yeah, yeah,
or
yeah. I don't think that she's like, I mean, I think she's like conniving as an Armenian, I will say. I think she's conniving in a mercantile way, like we all are. But I don't think that negates her. I don't think that negates her good personness.
Yeah, yet. I think she's got like, she's probably a pretty good mother. And like is invested in like a family and a
I think it's very sweet.
Fundamentally good way.
Yeah.
Wait, well, isn't the tea right now that there's turmoil between her and Kanye because she's taking too many selfies?
Oh,
and
my
she should
God.
Be taking care of her children.
I mean, as Dasha said recently on Twitter, I can't wait to have a baby so I can take selfies with it.
Yeah.
Why else would you have a baby?
I can't wait for like the mirror shot holding the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Are you gonna carry the baby yourself?
Why? Because it's too heavy?
No, I mean, like, you're going to get a surrogate? As an actress.
No. I will carry my own baby. I think it's actually very important for actresses to have children.
Why?
Because it's a super primordial, like, meaningful human experience, which I think as an actor you're supposed to maximize your access to.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's what they call method acting.
Yeah, 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 which I practice.
Yeah, yeah.
But people, yeah, lots of people are like, why do you want to have a kid? Your career is going to be over. But it's like, no, it's just beginning.
Wait, so guys, fill me in on the Stormy Daniels thing.
Stormy Daniels is a porn star who had an affair with Trump. He paid her a lot of money to, like, hush money about it. But he never signed the non-disclosure. This all could be very wrong. What I'm saying, this is all stuff I've like hobbled together from reading Twitter, and that's like, it's my truth and we're just going with it. Yes. And now she's come public about the fact that he had an affair with her, and she's gonna have an interview on 60 Minutes
tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Is that right?
It's Sunday.
On, so. Okay. So we can just watch, we can all watch that and discuss it next time.
But the whole
but he's been very suspiciously quiet about it, as he is about Putin. Like, he doesn't talk about, he doesn't like to talk about Russia collusion, and he hasn't liked to talk about Stormy Daniels. But nothing, unless he used like campaign finances as hush money, there's basically like no reason to even bring it up.
Well, no, and, it was her lawyer that. So there's two whores, right? Yeah, one of them, the lawyer, opened up like an LLC in Delaware to pay out the hush money.
Okay.
I heard this on another podcast.
Okay, good. Meg is the only one who listens to.
Anna and I are the only informed person on this podcast.
The only podcast I've listened to is Cumtown. So I don't know what they're like.
Who is responsible for the Cumtown graphic?
Probably Nick.
Because it's like disgusting.
Nick's disgusting. Like an illustrator. And I think it's his doing.
It's vile. It's actual cum. I love it too, but it's just
I hate disgusting. When I'm listening to Cumtown in public and like every time I look at my phone, it's like this like splashy Cumtown graphic.
I'm just going to listen to Cumtown on the train and hold the phone like outward so men can see that I have cum written in cum font on my phone. It's like, you know, like when I was reading Chris Krauss' I Love Dick and I carried it on the train in the hopes that like you know, maybe like a hot man would talk to me and they like stayed the fuck away. I don't know what it was.
Wait, that's
because
like
New Yorkers are too literate. In LA, they would be like, "What's up? I heard you like
you dick." Yeah.
Honestly, I never see anyone reading anything that I respect. It's always like an infinite jest. Like, on the
I
like,
see
M-train,
a lot of fucking like, dipshits reading like the first page of like a Heidegger book.
Yeah,
like great. Like I'm sure you're really focusing on that, on the noisy ass, rickety, shitty, stupid, fucking awful train.
That's Cynthia Nixon is Netflix.
Please.
Cynthia Nixon,
I'll go on the record. Cynthia, Red Scare endorsed. Cynthia Nixon, come on Red Scare.
Yeah.
Cynthia Nixon, come on Red Scare. And please fix the trains. Whatever you can do to help me. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of Red Scare. We will see you in hell.